If we can turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You hear the question people ask, how can we know? Well, hopefully by the time we finish we'll know. 1 John chapter 5. And I'll read the whole chapter for us, not a very long chapter, but 1 John chapter 5. And starting there in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you and bless you for your word and the opportunity to gather around it now, Lord. And Father, I'm thankful this morning I can stand here and say with confidence there are things concerning eternal matters that we can know, based upon your word, the confirmation from the Spirit of God. Lord, what a blessing and a privilege that is. In this world today where people are wandering aimlessly around, do not know the truth, don't even know there is truth to be known so many times. And yet by your grace and enabling, we're able to come together this morning to look into thy word, which is truth, and to know things that are significant, not just for time, but for all eternity. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, and look to you now, Lord, to bless our time in your word. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. How can we know the atheists or the unsaved people? I hear it often enough. You don't know. Ever had anybody say that to you when you try and talk to them about the Lord? You don't know whether that's true or not. Or they'll say, well, nobody knows. Nobody can know. How do you know? Well, praise the Lord, there are things that we can know, amen. We're not living in darkness totally in this world. There are things we can know. I know over the years, the number of people have told me, you can't know anything. You can't know anything. And I remember one, I mentioned him in the past, I guess. He was a deputy head of a school, going back years ago now, and I was talking to him about the things of the Lord, and he was one of those who said, you just can't know anything. You can't know anything. And I said, well, I believe you can know some things. He said, no, you just can't know anything for sure. You can't know for sure. I said, okay, so I picked up something and dropped it. And I said, see, we can know that when you drop things, they drop down, unless someone puts a hand or something underneath it, unless the wind blows it or whatever. But you can know that when you drop things, they drop down. He said, you don't know that one day it might drop like that outwards. Now, there's a fellow who's living in fairyland, amen. Talk about an extraordinary situation. This is a so-called intelligent man, a deputy head of a school. But he says, you can't know anything. I said, well, let me help you to know something. He said, what's that? I said, try and run through that wall over there. I said, come on. He just looked at me. I said, well, you don't know. You might be able to run through it. You might not. You said you can never know anything. I said, I believe you couldn't run through it, by the way. And I'd like to see you try. Come on, try it. You know, you don't know. It might just... No, you wouldn't do it. What am I saying? I'm saying... He's by Bible definition a fool. To say you can't know anything and then to use such foolishness is to show that he's not real smart at all. Don't know how he got to be a deputy head. But anyway, it's another story. But thank God, praise the Lord, there are things we can know and things that concern both time and eternity. How important is that? Not just for this life, but for eternity. And 1 John is a wonderful book, and some of you heard me speak about it in the past. After I became a Christian, the night I came to know the Lord as my Saviour, for the next 30 days I read 1 John, those five chapters. And I hadn't owned a Bible, so it was a Sunday night when I trusted the Lord as my Saviour. And the next morning I went and got a Bible, bought one, and on the encouragement of the preacher the previous night, I read 1 John chapter 5 every day for 30 days. And it certainly was a blessing. It certainly was an encouragement. And one of the reasons, I believe, is because in these five chapters, fairly short book, but over 30 times, John writes about things we can know. And I don't know about you, I don't like guessing. I like to know. Is this true? Is it not? What about this? What about that? I like to know things. And thank God, God was gracious enough to put me in a situation where I was encouraged to read these five chapters. The interesting thing about it, and I spoke to the preacher a year later when he came back to the church. This was in Adelaide. We were going there. Because that night he said, I want you to... Here's what I encourage you to do. Read those five chapters every day for 30 days and God will speak to you. Now here am I. I'm not a churchgoer. I didn't own a Bible. And so as I say, I bought one next day. And when I first started reading it, I was like, you know, well, he said, God will speak to you. And I'm trying to, can't hear anything. I said to him a year later when he was back in the church preaching, he was an evangelist, Brother Glenn, and he said, well, it's good to see you here, brother. He said, I had a few doubts whether you made it or not. I said, no, all good. I said, just got a little thing I want to talk to you about. He said, what's that? I said, you've got to be careful about using office jargon. He said, what do you mean? He said, you told me that night, just read it and God will speak. I said, man, I'm going, where's God speaking to me? I said, but what I did find out though, by God's grace, is as I was reading those five chapters, every now and then a particular verse would kind of light up. You know, it's like, wow, yeah, that's amazing. Now that's interesting. Wow. And I found out that's kind of how the Spirit of God speaks to you through His Word. He kind of highlights certain words or certain passages or certain verses, and you just know, I get it. And so again, you know, 1 John's been a wonderful blessing in my life, and if you've never read it, I encourage you to read it, and it can be very, very helpful. But things that we can know, you have a look in chapter 1, and John, who wrote this letter, the Apostle John, he says there in verse 1 in chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Notice that John is writing from personal experience. He's not writing second or third or fourth hand. He says, I'm writing this. Why? Well, from the beginning, the things which we have heard. Right? Now remember, John was a disciple and an apostle of the Lord Jesus. One of his top three, if I can put it that way. And so he's writing from his experience. These are things that I heard. These are things which we have seen with our eyes. We're not going by, oh, I'm not sure, you know, I heard so and so. No, John says, listen, I've seen it. I was with the Lord Jesus. I saw what he did. We saw with our eyes, we've looked upon it. And not only that, he said, our hands have handled of the word of life. He said, I'm telling you, I've been there and done it. I was there with the Lord Jesus. You know, the things that we've seen, our hands have handled. You know, John could say, when we were there at the Last Supper and I was reclining back, I was leaning on the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, I've handled the Word of Life. It's one of the names. The Word is the Lord Jesus. He's the Word. He says, our hands have handled. We've sat there, we've eaten with him, we've spoken with him, we've spent time with him, we've prayed with him, we've watched him heal people, we've watched him raise the dead. We've seen all that. So let me tell you, I've got the personal experience. I can tell you what I'm saying is true. Now people can laugh at the Bible and mock and scoff as much as they like. But they're fools. John is writing, this was written some 2,000 years ago, preserved for us today. It's a pretty amazing testament, isn't it, about the Bible? You know, think about it from time to time. The Bible's been around a long, long time. No other book has gone even slightly close to it. The number of books that have been written both for and against the Bible would probably, who knows how many mountains they would form if they put them all together. And yet people say, no, it's not true. Don't believe that. Just written by men. Really? Well, if we see how the world's been influenced by the Word of God, still being influenced, we can see how God uses the Word of God to totally change people's lives. Then to say it's just another book written by men shows total ignorance. John said, listen, we have heard, we've seen, we've looked upon, we've handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He said, let me tell you, when the Lord Jesus stood up there and said, I am the way, the truth and the life, we've seen the life. He is eternal life. Eternal life is a person, not just an existence. Eternal life is having a personal relationship with the God who created all things. And that's what eternal life's about. You know, people kind of get off the track a little bit, but that's what eternal life, it's knowing the Word, the Lord Jesus, the one who is the life. and having a relationship. John said, we had a relationship with him. And we were there for those 3 years as disciples, following him and working with him and all the things that took place there. He said, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John said, listen, the reason I'm sharing this is so that you can enjoy the same fellowship which we have with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen, we've heard, we've handled, we've done all that. And John says, I want you to have that same fellowship, to have in common. That's the idea of fellowship. We have this common fellowship with God. Things we can know. Over 30 times, things we can know. You notice here in chapter 2, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith they know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. John said, if you really know God, it'll be evident in your life because you'll be obedient to his commandments. He said, don't tell me you know God and then you're disobeying God. He said, that's not right. You're not going to know God like that. You know by your obedience. He says there, if you go down a little further, he that saith I know him, verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in him. Now this is how we know these things. You notice verse 18 of this chapter. A little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. John says we know when we look around that there are many Antichrists. Many come out and say they are Christ and all those things. They are Antichrist. He said that's an indication that we live in the last times. How much more 2,000 years later do we live in the last times? And you and I know that there are many, many out there who are Antichrist, or those who would pretend to be Christ. I remember someone showed me a clip at one stage I looked at, and this man, is, I think it's a church in America, I forget his name now, but he's got this huge following, and he says he's Jesus. And all these people are following him. It's unbelievable. And they're all getting these special marks put on them as a result of him. And he's telling them he's Jesus, and you can trust me, and it'll be all good. And we know it's the last time when that's happening. John said, we know there's many Antichrists. You have a look in chapter 3 there in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? I often come to those verses. They're wonderful verses. What manner of love? What sort of love that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? So this is amazing. God's love, that he would love us so much that we can now be called the sons of God. He says, now are we the sons of God. Now. How blessed is that to know that now we are the sons of God? You know, some people say, well, everybody's God's children. No, they're not. No, they're not. God's the one who gives life and breath to all. That's true. But only those who have trusted Christ as their Saviour are truly the sons of God, the children of God. But he says there, we don't know what to yet appear, what it'll be. We're not sure. John says, you know, one day the Lord's come, we're going to be with him. We're not exactly sure what it's going to be like. He said, this much we do know, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I don't know about you, but I find that a blessing. Firstly, he says, we shall see him. We know, we're going to see him one day. This is not some pie in the sky, airy fairy, hope for the best, keep your fingers crossed stuff. John says, listen, we've seen, we've heard, we've handled. I can tell you, he said, he's coming back. We know he is. You can know he is. If you're a child of God, then you know he's coming back and you're going to see him. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Imagine that. Going to be like the Lord. Oh my. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. Oh my, how good will that be? No more sin to worry about. No more temptations. No more getting old. And no more getting sick. None of all that. It's all taken care of now because we shall see him. We shall be like him. We shall be like him. And we'll have a glorified body like unto his glorified body. We'll be immortal. We'll be incorruptible. We'll be all those things. And John says, yeah, we know. And we know that. That's what it's going to be like. You know, in verse 14 he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. John said, one of the tests of someone who's a true child of God, they have a love for the brethren, they have a love for God's people. He said, we know if we love God's people, then we're one of God's children. So that's one of the proofs. You know, you hear people say, oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't get to heaven by going to church. That's true. But if you're a true Christian, then there ought to be evident that we love the brethren. And how do you show you love the brethren? By spending time with them, amen? That's how you do it. So I just love you. I'll never see you for the next 50 years, but I just love you. Yeah, that sounds good. I don't think so. We know that we've passed from death because we love the brethren. How good is it to be able to get together with God's people and share the things of the Lord? And you know what it's like when you're out there in the world and you just don't feel quite at home. And you get around some people and just wish you weren't there, just the way they talk and the way they carry on. And why? Because it's just not quite the same, is it? You get with God's people, and you start talking about the Lord, and oh my, it's different, isn't it? Oh my, it's different. Oh my, it's different. You have a look in chapter 4, and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Notice what he says next, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, for have you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. John said, let me tell you something. We can know whether it's the Spirit of God who's dealing with us or not. This spirit that's dealing with us. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And you've got many, 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 many people out there today who deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, as Paul declares it. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. He's not just an example. He didn't come to die as a martyr. And the list goes on and on and on. No. John says, we know that this is of the Spirit of God when the person confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He is God manifest in the flesh. Hard one to comprehend, isn't it? How is it that God could do that? I remember talking to some Muslims one time. And going back a while, and we got talking about the Lord and things of the Lord, and of course they're quite different about the Lord Jesus. They say he's one of the five great prophets, and he was the fourth, and then Muhammad came along to kind of seal the deal. And so they said to me, so you're saying that the Lord Jesus was God who came to earth and died on the cross for our sins? I said, that's correct, according to the Bible. They said, he wouldn't do it. I said, pardon? He wouldn't do it. I said, why not? Well, because he wouldn't do it. I said, hang on. Can I ask you a question? What's that? I said, this God, you say you believe in Allah, right? Yes, he's God. said, could Allah do anything? Of course. So then Allah could, if he wanted to, come to earth in the form of a man and die for the sins of the world if he wanted to. Because he can do anything, correct? But he wouldn't do it. So there's your problem. You are denying what the Bible teaches. That is the spirit of Antichrist. The Lord Jesus, he's the Son of God, manifest in the flesh. That's who he is and who he was and who he always will be. So John said, you can know this. You can know, is this spirit, is this Jehovah's Witness from God? No. Why? Because they deny he is the Son of God manifest in the flesh. They say he's a created being. He's Michael, the archangel. The Mormons will tell you that he is a brother of Lucifer, a created being. And the list goes on. Why? Because they're the spirit of Antichrist. They're not the spirit of God. John says you can know it. Just ask him. Who do you say the Lord Jesus is? He's a prophet, sorry. Well, he's a... No, no, no. He's the Son of God who came from heaven's glory. And Paul said he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. He laid aside all his glory. That's who the Lord Jesus... He said, we can know that. We can know that. Well, our knowledge, if we can put it this way, our knowledge is both objective and subjective. Now, objective in this sense is not just based on feelings. You know, you hear people say, I just feel the Spirit. That may be okay, that may be so, but we're not to base our faith, we're not to base our knowledge on feelings alone. And we'll see, feelings are part of it. Let's not forget what John wrote at the beginning. Let's have a look again just to remind ourselves. This is very objective. This is not, John's not saying, I just had this wonderful dream and I saw Jesus. And ever since then I've believed. No, 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 no. That's not what he said, did he? He said, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen, which we've looked upon our hands of hand. That's a pretty good way to test things out, isn't it? I've heard, I've seen, I've touched. You know, is this book real? Well, I can see it. I can't hear it, but I can touch it. I can, you know, look at it and feel, yep, this is real. John says, this is what it was like. That's what we've seen, our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That's objective. That's testable. That's objective. You have a look in John chapter 20. John, who wrote, 1 John also wrote the Gospel of John, John chapter 20. Notice what he says in the final couple of verses. It's interesting, I'll just back up just a little bit to verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead and he's back from the grave. He's visited the disciples in the upper room and Thomas wasn't there that particular night. Notice what it says. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now Thomas there is a picture of a lot of people today. If God would just show himself to me, then I would believe. Ever had people say that sort of thing? If God would just show himself, then I'd believe. Well, I'm not sure about that. I've tested people out on that, and they always fail the test. They always fail the test. Well, let me tell you, I'm God. Ha ha ha, what are you laughing about? You said if God would reveal himself, you'd believe. I'm telling you, I'm God. You see what I'm saying? That they're deceiving themselves. If God would reveal himself, yeah, if God revealed himself, you wouldn't believe it anyway. You wouldn't do it. Oh, yes, we would. No, no, no. Thomas said, notice what he said there. Except I shall see his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand inside, I will not believe. It's a big difference between that and I cannot, isn't it? I cannot believe it. No, he didn't say, he said, I will not believe. Now, think about it. The other disciples have seen the Lord, they've eaten with him, they've done everything, and they've said, listen, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Unless I can see him, I'm not going to believe. Oh my. That's where he gets that name, Doubting Thomas, isn't it? But what happens? After 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. He did exactly what he did the previous visit. Came straight through the door. The doors are locked. Came in. Hi, guys, here I am. Notice what it says. Then saith he to Thomas, I've come here for a particular reason. Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. So, okay, Thomas, you said you wouldn't believe except you could see. Come and put your finger there. Come and put your hand in the side. You want proof? Here I am. How good is that? Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I believe he kind of fell down at the Lord's feet. Said, oh Lord. How embarrassed would he have been, you think? Oh my. How foolish must he have felt. And yet the Lord was very gracious, wasn't he? You know, the Lord's still very gracious. Even with people today who say, oh, if I want to see you, whatever. Because that's all right. God keeps working with them, drawing them. Notice what the Lord said. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Notice what he says. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and I. We haven't seen the Lord, but we've believed. And when we believe, we are truly blessed of God, aren't we? Truly blessed of God. Because then we can get into 1 John and find all these things we can now know. We're no longer guessing. I wonder if God's real or not. We know he's real. We wonder if the Lord Jesus, did he really die on the cross? Yeah, we know he did. We've experienced a relationship with him. We know he's real. Notice what he says, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Well, what am I talking about? Objective truth. Here's God's record, which has been preserved down through the centuries. It's testable. We can put it to the test. One of the difficult things in talking to some of these atheists is that they're not prepared to really seriously put it to the test. They want to mock and scoff and all that sort of carry on, but when you get them down, okay, well, why don't you put it to the test? If you want to know whether it's true, put it to the test. Just relax. And back in 1 John chapter 5 verse 13, wonderful verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is not, you know, I just got my fingers crossed, hope for the best. No, John says, I've written this. This is something objective that is testable. I can put it to the test. And he said, I tell you something, you can know that you have eternal life. You know that you have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. That's testable. It's testable by, do you love the brethren, etc., etc. The many things that we can know which are testable. This is objective. But then there's the subjective side as well. I would say it carefully, the feeling side, if we can use that carefully. Have a look in chapter 3 then, verse 24. Still in 1 John chapter 3, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us. We know, why? By the Spirit which he hath given us. Chapter 4, verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Chapter 5 verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, how do you prove that to someone? You can't, can you? It's subjective in that sense. But as Paul wrote, the Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are the sons of God. This is something we can know. Yes, it is subjective in that sense, but we know, don't we? If we're truly a child of God, we know. We know. We might not always be the children we ought to be, and that's true. We might be even way out in the back block somewhere as a child of God, like the prodigal son, but we still know because the Spirit bears testimony to us that you're one of my children. How good is that? I'm thankful for that. It's not some religious experience I've had. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got all to do with the Spirit of God, that third person of the Godhead speaking to me, indwelling me, sealing me, and saying to my spirit, you are one of God's children. Amen, amen. Oh dear. Often people say, well, I want to know. Their problem is they're not willing to do. The Lord Jesus said in John 7, he said, if any man would know his will, he has to be prepared to do it. And a lot of these atheists, as I've said before, well, you know, what about this and what about that? No, just this is objective. What it's saying here is clear. Put that to the test first. If that doesn't work, then we'll have some discussion later on, okay? We can know these things, but they're not prepared to do it. And by the way, it's by faith, isn't it? It's how we start, by faith. Talking to someone the other day, I said, ultimately it's by faith. We can spend all our life trying to work out the facts and figures, but the Bible says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. So it doesn't matter how much information I've got, ultimately I have to, as it were, lay that inside and say, okay, I've got the information now, God, I'm going to put this to the test. And that's what a lot of people are not prepared to do. Do you know? Can you say confidently, I know. I know according to what the Word of God says. I know according to what the Spirit of God bears witness to my spirit that I'm a child of God. It was interesting on Friday night, I shared with a couple of people, but on Friday night at the prison, we were in 2 Thessalonians. And we were talking about end times because that's what the passage was about, and the world antichrist and how the world's lining up for a one world government and all those kind of things. And this man spoke up and he said, look, he said, I think we've got to be careful here. So we're starting to get a little bit, you know, talking about things that we don't know much about. And he's going on a bit. And I said, look, we're not talking about setting a date for the Lord Jesus coming. Because the Bible says of that day now knows no man. So let's keep that in balance. But you know, some people, they get so focused on all these things happening, they think, you know, it could happen today. I said, well, according to the Bible, it could. But I said, that's not the point we're making. The point we're making is that the world is shaping up in a way that the technology makes it possible to be able to fulfill all those prophecies in the book of Revelation, which 50 years ago would have been impossible, so-called. Oh, yes. I said, okay, can I ask you a question? Because he said, we need to focus more about the gospel and things. I said, okay, let's do it. How can I become a Christian? How does someone become a Christian? He said, well, you've got to confess Jesus and believe he died on the cross for your sins. I said, okay, and? Well, then, you know, the Spirit will come into you and he'll start to teach you things. Oh, yeah, and? Oh, well. I said, okay, let's turn around a little bit further. I said, I'm here tonight for the first time and I want to know, how can I become a Christian? Can you please tell me? He said, well, you need to believe in Jesus and everything. I said, and? Oh, well, you know. And so we went in that track a little bit. And then I said to him, okay, another question for you. He said, what's that? I said, when did you become a Christian? He said, I have to say I'm not a Christian. He said, I kind of believe some of this stuff, but I'm not a Christian, I know. At least he knew something. But But he has this facade and he's got all these intellectual questions and everything else and he's very intelligent, but he's not even... I said, here you are tonight, you're not even a Christian, so you've got no idea what the Bible's teaching and yet you're trying to tell us what we should be doing. Oh, well, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. So, okay, that's fine. And so we spent the next 15, 20 minutes talking about how to get saved. Afterwards, he held back. And it was very interesting. I said to my wife, I think to David, how the Lord worked it all out. He held back, this fellow. And he came up to me and he said, look, he said, what I was saying before, I said, that's fine. I said, you can ask any question you like. It doesn't bother me. He said, but you're not going to be able to convert me. I said, I'm not trying to. I said, only God can convert or save us. I said, but let me say this. If you don't hear the truth, you won't be able to believe. Because you can't believe except you hear. But once you've heard, it's up to you what you do with that. And so we had about 10 minutes there. And by this time I'm starting to look at my watch and I think, man, I'm going to be locked up here tonight if I'm not careful. So I rang them. I said, excuse me, look, I better just check with the office, see what's happening. And I rang them and said, look, you know, I'm ready to leave you. Okay. And came back and then the warder came and said, oh, sorry, I forgot. I forgot you were here. That's right. And I've come to let you out. I said, no, that's good. But I saw the Lord's hand in that. I had about 10 minutes with that fella alone. He's never stayed back like that before. It was just a very unusual night in that sense. But what a blessing it was to see God's hand in that fella's life. To finally hear him admit, I'm not a believer. I'm not. Because when you are, you know you are. You know you are. The Spirit bears testimony to your spirit that you're a child of God. And yes, you may not be the greatest Christian on planet Earth, but you know that you're a child of God, amen? I trust this morning we can all say, I know. You know the Apostle Paul, what did he write when he wrote to Timothy? He said, nevertheless, for which cause I suffer these things. But he said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We all ought to be able to say that if we're a true child of God, amen. I know whom I have believed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you and bless you for these truths that we find in your word. We're thankful for your word which you have preserved down through the centuries. Only you could do that, God. No other book's gone even a fraction to that. But Lord, by your grace and goodness and mercies, you've preserved it so that we can be here today, even as if John were here today himself saying, I've heard, I've seen, I've looked upon, I've handled. Same today. Father, how we thank you, we praise you. We praise you for the Spirit of God who ministers to us through the Word of God. We're thankful to you, Father, for the objective truth through your word, which are testable for those who want to test it. We're thankful, Lord, for the subjective knowledge, that knowledge that the Spirit of God gives to every individual who believes on the Lord Jesus, the knowledge that they are a child of God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And then, Lord, we don't know what it'll be like, but we do know that when the Lord Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Lord, wonderful, wonderful truths. And we have the privilege, by your grace, to enjoy them. Father, we thank you for the invitation, whosoever will may come. For this is not for any particular individual, but it's for everybody. But Lord, so often the difficulty is people, as much as they say they want to know, they are not prepared to put it to the test, as it were. We're thankful that whosoever comes and calls on the name of the Lord are saved, are a true child of God. And Father, you know our hearts this morning. I don't know, Lord, that maybe someone hears this morning, you'd have to be like that fellow in prison and finally own up and say, yeah, that's me, I'm like him, I'm not really a Christian. But the Lord, they may also want to say this, but I would like to be. I've listened to what you've said and I find it very interesting and very amazing, and I'd like to put it to the test. Maybe even this day, I'd like to kind of find out. I don't want to be like a Thomas who said, I will not. I don't want to be, I cannot, or I will not. I just want to be willing. And Father, if there's anybody like that this morning, I pray for them that they would be willing to talk to someone and say, look, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know. Just while their eyes are closed and heads bowed, I'm not going to prolong it or embarrass you, but this morning you might say, Pastor, that's me, I want to know. I won't go any further than that at this point, but I want to know. You just slip your hand up, I'd like to pray for you if that's you. I'm not going to embarrass you, you don't have to make a speech or anything, but yeah, I see your hand, you want to know. Yep, you can take your hand down. Is anybody else? I want to know. I want to know the truth. I want to know the Saviour. Father, I do pray for the one who's raised their hand, Lord, that you administer your grace to them, bring them to that place of rest and trust in the Lord Jesus, their own personal Saviour, that in their hearts they would say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe what the Bible says, that Jesus died to pay the price for my sins and that he was buried and raised again. And I don't understand it all, but I believe it. I pray, forgive me. Father, I know that if that's their heart's desire, you'll forgive them. And may it be real in their lives from this day on. May the Spirit of God minister to their hearts. And Lord, we want to give you thanks and praise. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.